May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 43. Precious Bible, what a treasure does the Word of God afford. All I want for life or pleasure, food and medicine, shield and sword, is revealed in Jehovah's sacred word. Hymn number 43.
read together from the most holy word of God, once again from Ezekiel's prophecy. We'll read the first 14 verses out of chapter 16. Then we'll turn to the first epistle, General Peter, and read chapter 2. But first, Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 16, reading the first 14 verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is in the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee, to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as a bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, as saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I have put upon thee, as saith the Lord God. And turning to the first epistle, General Peter, chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, thou who hast spared our lives a little longer here upon the earth, to gather in thy courts this Sabbath evening, to gather in thy courts and all that might be without hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness. To be gathered in thy courts as the beggars poor at mercy's door. Lie such a wretch as I. To be gathered in thy courts with all our wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Yea, to come just as we are. We've nothing to recommend ourselves, cannot commend ourselves, and we have to come with nothing in our hands, and may it be so. If we're venturing with something still of self, strip it from us. But all to be brought here, and with nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross to cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to thee, fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die. Oh, that knowledge of what we are, what we have need of. Ah, yes, and the blessed Spirit leading us unto Christ. The blessed Spirit leading and teaching into all truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, the blessed Spirit taking that poor sinner, not leaving him in that slough of despond, leaving him to sink in the mire, no. But the Spirit. Yes, leading that poor sinner on. Through the lattice of the gospel, here a little, there a little, line upon line, and precept upon precept. Oh, some of us, yes, it has been so, here a little, there a little. We know with some, like the apostle, that which he once rested in of the flesh was cut up root and branch in a moment. Yes, and he was brought soon, was he not, to pray thus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? But oh, may we each be brought there in our measure. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Take me in hand. Leave me not to myself. Lead me forth for that right way. Oh, and perhaps one, they feel to be such a beggar poor. Yes, they feel to be upon the dunghill. Oh, do yet lift up that one from the dunghill and set their feet upon the rock. Raise them up as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. All that might see yet their sins borne away by one who knew no sin, but truly bore the sin of many. And all they may see their sins laid upon thee, that spotless lamb who did offer himself as that perfect sacrifice. Once and for all, yes, once and for all, no more sacrifice needed. We read, do we not, regarding the many sacrifices made in those times of old. And the hymn writer put it like this, not all the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altars slain could atone for one sin, but as a type and shadow of that which was yet to come. But all with the precious blood of Christ. That Lamb of God. Oh, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And so may some poor trembling sinner be yet brought there. They may see that one. That so satisfied the law in every jot and tittle. A satisfied divine justice in all its parts. And with his dying breath cried out, it is finished, it is finished. But oh, as we think upon that work in the of thine in the Garden of Gethsemane, upon the cross at Calvary, yes, a wonder of wonders, was it not, that one should so condescend Ah, yes, to so stoop down to be a man and die. But it was so. But blessed be God that the grave could not hold thee. The grave could not hold thee. Ah, that one who was laid in the tomb those days. Ah, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down to myself, and there's that one likewise able to take it up again. But all tasted death, perfumed it, if we can put it in that way, took away the sting of death. And yes, the tomb, the grave could not hold thee, rose again for our justification. If there were no rising again, there would be no justification. We should yet be in our sins and we should die in our sins. There shall be no hope. But all we verily believe are those accounts left on record of thee in Holy Writ, that thou didst rise again. And may we know it even as Mary was brought to know it. Yes, for that little time she saw an empty tomb. We know at times in our pathway, when our faith is sorely tried, often we see an empty tomb. But all like dear Mary there, found weeping. Ah, and the hymn writer put it like this, I no more at Mary wonder. Ah, yes, dropping tears upon the grave. Yes, where was he that died to save? Where was her hope? Where was her saviour? Ah, but we think often of that precious promise. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And perhaps one or another, they see at the moment it's an empty tomb. Ah, yes, our unbelief often takes hold upon us, gets the better of us. And yes, we can come like one that cried, Lord, I believe. But help thou mine unbelief. But oh, an empty tomb. Oh, do yet speak like thou didst unto dear Mary there. Ah, was it not there that reminder, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Mary. Yes, Mary. And so we plead. Draw near unto such a one this night. Ah, may they yet see and believe and take hold, yes, upon a risen Saviour, one that truly has conquered death, hell and the grave, gain the victory. And blessed be God, that one that sits now on the right hand of the Father, having ascended on high, and truly waits to be gracious at the voice of our cries. At the voice of our cries. In the midst of the sorrows of the way, there is that one that waits to be gracious. Oh, do we know sin to call upon thee in our times of trouble, to cast our cares upon thee, the burdens of life, and all the things that distress and perplex us, all our temptations and sorrows. Ah, yes, those times and seasons when our faith is sorely tried, but oh, that one that knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same, one that so walked that lowly path, oh, what a mercy. Do enable us, Lord, we plead even this night, let us therefore come boldly, boldly with our needs, boldly with all our cares and concerns, let us therefore come boldly. Oh, not fleshly boldness, but boldness by faith. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thou knowest each one's need. Ah, from the youngest here to the oldest this night, each one with their various needs according to the path which thou hast divinely appointed to them. Each one's need. Ah, I know each one to cast their burden upon thee, that which thou hast assigned them. Ah, and wilt thou not sustain them? Wilt thou not grant unto them, like thou didst unto thy servant of old, the apostle, my grace? Yes, the answer when he had that thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Wanted to remove, and perhaps one or another has a path they'd rather not be walking in. Our flesh rebels against it. It's quite onerous to our natural feelings. Yes, it often is a path of darkness and distress, and we don't want it. Painful paths. But, O Lord, may we likewise prove with the apostle that which is appointed, that which thou hast decreed that it should be, so nothing is out of place, nothing happens by chance. But, oh, may we prove with the apostle, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Thou knowest our weaknesses. Thou knowest our times we're wearied with the journey. This poor sinner, as we stand up before thee, known it much of recent times, wearied with the journey, buffetings. Buffetings from sinners and from saints. But, O Lord, do grant, we plead, strength each one of us, day by day, yea, hour by hour, yea, moment by moment. And, oh, may we prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty, mighty to uphold, mighty to save, mighty to deliver, mighty to bring through. Oh, may we prove him like Jehoshaphat when things get so, it seems so. We wonder where the scene will end. We feel we cannot abide the enemy or that which comes against us, threatens to destroy. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. Oh, may the eye of faith look up. And may we yet prove like Jehoshaphat. Oh, yes, in the midst of it all there, as they all gather together, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. The eye of faith looked up. And there was that one raised up as thy servant to speak. Stand ye still. Ye have no need to fight in this battle. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And perhaps one or another has a great mountain and difficulty before them. But oh, may they yet see the good hand of their God going before them. And like it was with Jehoshaphat, all those enemies were brought to fight amongst themselves. They didn't have to raise their weapons against them. They stood still and looked on with wonder and amazement, did they not? Oh, may perhaps one or another, that which is before them, a great trouble, enemies, the world and all that Satan has to hurl against them. Oh, may they prove the same with Jehoshaphat. Their eye of faith looks up, and there is that deliverance that Almighty God wrought for them. And they went in the gathering of the spoil 3 days. So remember each then, once again, the dear young friends and the little babes in arms, we lovingly bear them before thee. Oh, work mighty in their hearts whilst young in years, if it could please thee. Give parents help. And especially as we look upon the little tiny babies and that needed help there, grant them that help, we plead. Many others in those paths of, in the midst of life that, whether it is with the parents and families, but each one in their pathway of life. Oh, and perhaps are that on the morrow. Lord, we plead. Do grant them that help. Each one, whether it is the young ones, and perhaps they've got exams coming up, some of them. And perhaps they're in the midst of exams now. Lord, enable them to cast their care upon thee. But do remember them each, we plead, and those perhaps with those busy scenes, whether it is the housewife and housewives and mothers in the home and all the duties that pertain to homes. Lord, thou knowest what the cares they have. Lord, also those that, they labour for the meat which perisheth. And certainly it is a day of great difficulties and trials, but Lord, may we prove as we have to prove, do we not, in the scenes of life, in those busy scenes, and have we not proved some as we've had to enter into a closet, in the midst of a busy work scene, when trying things come in a moment, we've had to pour out our heart before thee and seek for help, and thou hast been pleased to grant it. Thou hast been pleased to grant it. And so to remember each one we plead, whether it is the one in the home, and they have to turn aside for a moment and commit the way unto thee, seek help of thee. Whether it is in the business and workplace, or in the, perhaps in the school, or in the higher education, whatever it may be, or to go into the closet, may not be in a literal building or a room, but when the eye of faith looks up, that closet, when that one in their feelings, in their very soul's feelings, they're with their God, and they're unable to pour out their heart, thou dost enlarge their heart, and thou dost enable them to pour out their hearts before thee. And so we plead, do grant them each according to their need. Ah, that which they desire, that which they have need of. And once again, remember those in the even time of life that feel the mud wall cottage shake. Go to them where they are. Perhaps they can't get out to thy courts anymore. And our thoughts go to one another. Thou hast spared them many years in their pilgrimage. And now they find the heart and mind and body and spirit. There's a weakness there, weariness there. But, O Lord, do grant them from time to time those fresh tokens. Spoke to one of thy aged servants not so long ago, and how he longed once again for those fresh tokens. Fresh tokens. Oh, do grant them, we plead. Ah, may their latter days be their best days, but yet no doubt they find likewise, down to the end of their days, a foe. A foe that opposes, a foe that tries to destroy. But oh, what a mercy. Ah, bound up in that covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Ah, yes, that covenant which David could speak of. Oh, may they likewise, they may look upon things in their families, things that surround them, yea, in the churches, in the nation. Oh, yes, dear David of old, he mourned over what he felt within, although my house be not so with God. Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Ah, yes, although he had to say, he maketh it not to grow. But there, that covenant, that unalterable covenant, that everlasting covenant, yes, bound up in that love, which is eternal, which is unchanging, cannot be revoked or overthrown. Oh, and that good shepherd and bishop of their souls that has borne them all the days of old will bring them home to glory at last. And so remember those in the even time of their life, and any in their sicknesses, bless all the means used for their good. Oh, we commit them unto thee. Sanctify the path and sweeten any pain. And oh, may it please thee, in the affliction's path might be that which is thou hast ordained for their soul's good. And certainly sometimes we can look at large scars upon our bodies where interventions have been had to be done those years ago. And we truly had to look back now and see that they were those times appointed when thou didst favour us in our souls. When we could say with a measure of faith, it was good that I was afflicted, but when I was afflicted, I went astray. And through affliction's pathway, thou didst reveal thyself in love and mercy. Sanctified us affliction. Ah, it certainly sweetened the pain, made the bed for us. And so we plead for what those in their afflictions. Ah, we commit them lovingly unto thee. But now, O Lord, we seek for thy help this night. Ah, this poor sinner, trembling sinner. Oh, we feel at times so tossed and turned, their mind goes hither and thither. But oh, do command our thoughts, order our thoughts. Bring to our mind those things which thou didst bring to our mind. Those meditations, oh, if it could please thee, be our helper. But oh, grant unto us each the hearing ears and the hearts of understanding. Lord, we plead that might be so this night. Ah, that we might go away from thy courts and say, that day in thy courts has been better than 1,000. Oh, when we take handle and feel, yes, taste, handle and feel of the word of life, the bread of life sent down from heaven, when it truly is made meat and drink unto us, and there's something we can take home to beat out all that might please thee. Ah, oh, thou knowest where thy roots are. They glean, they long to glean, and they have gleaned. But all might be a gleaning this night. May it not be a barren field in the courts of our heavenly Boaz, in the field of our heavenly Boaz. Oh, leave not this one to make it so. But all that might be, that which can be gathered up. An ear there, here, and an ear there. A few grains, perhaps. What a mercy, a crumb that may fall from the master's table. A little sip from the well of salvation. But if it could please thee, those handsful of purpose, oh, may it please thee. Perhaps one or another yet led into the banqueting house, where thy banner over them is love. So we plead now for thy help, and thy labouring servants, as they've laboured in thy name in the earlier part of the day. Ah, do bless those labours done in thy name. May that word go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And all, perhaps there's been a red sermon. May thy blessing likewise rest upon that. Thou knowest. So we plead now for thy help. Bless us each together. And anything we've forgotten. And perhaps one sits in the pew. And they feel, well, another Lord's Day has gone past. And the Lord seems to... doesn't take up my case. Ah, where we've forgotten, where we've been remiss in this. Lord, make up in giving, where we have failed in thy asking. Lord, thou canst. We're but mortals, imperfect creatures, but all things are possible with thee. So where we've failed, do be pleased to make up. And grant now thy help, we plead. Pardon and forgive our many sins, our often failings, our constant shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1100. Let worldly minds the world pursue, it has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. Hymn 1100.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 2. And I believe I may have spoken from this either the first time I ever came here. I stand to be corrected on that, but verse 7, the first part of verse 7, the first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 2, and the first part of verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And that chapter begins, does it not, speaking of those the work of grace is begun in. That changed heart, as we tried to speak this morning, out of that chapter in Ezekiel chapter 36. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ah, that which man cannot do of himself, but Almighty God, according to his divine purpose, as regards those whom he hath a love toward from all eternity, that time shall come. That time shall come. Ah, and they shall be found, yes, truly wrought upon by the Spirit. But oh, what a mercy when the Spirit opens up to your understanding and mine. And may it please you, and I trust some of us we've known a little of it, where Christ, in all his beauty, although we see more and more of it, as the days of our life are lengthened out, as troubles and sorrows come, we see more and more of the beauty of Christ. But what a mercy if we know a little of that whereby, yes, we read that chapter. I referred to it this morning just briefly at that 16th chapter. But oh, that one brought to know what their need is, feeling it is so, not academically, but in the reality of it. Yes, in the reality of it. And what a mercy, although, yes, what we read there, none I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. The world won't pity you. Satan won't pity you. But what a mercy. What a mercy. Like the Good Samaritan, Christ. Ah, yes, Christ will have pity on such a one. Yes, that one that truly condescended to take upon himself a body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. Ah, yes, walk that lowly path here below. That one to offer himself the just for the unjust, dying that poor sinners might live. It was so. It came to pass. You read of the sufferings of Christ as recorded in the Gospels. You read of it in Isaiah chapter 53. And especially that I know in my own case, that chapter in Isaiah the 53rd has been made precious to my soul as a sinner. Ah, made precious to me like it was to that Ethiopian eunuch. Yes, perhaps you know a little of what the Ethiopian eunuch felt like. There was that work wrought in his heart, that work of grace begun. Understandest what thou readest when Philip was sent down to him there in that desert place? Understandest what thou readest? How can I, except some man should guide me? And Philip was the instrument in God's hand. The instrument, yes, of Almighty God, through the foolishness of preaching. These things are often made known. In general, it is so. It is through the foolishness of preaching. Although, like I said, I believe I hinted in prayer, I believe that was taught me and shown me in a hospital bed. A hospital bed, but nevertheless, it's the Spirit's work. Through one means or another. But what a mercy. There is that one that pities poor sinners. And a hymn came sweetly to my mind late this evening as we got back from Southery. But all that hymn, and it was these lines that seemed to arrest my mind and my spirit. That hymn 113 of Kent's. Ah, yes, it begins, does it not? Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there? Or can you come with that next verse? Jesus, my soul's compelled to flee from all its wrath and curse to thee. Though oft through pride my stubborn will to sign thee I feels a cleaving still. But that's one brought into life, knows their need. The Spirit has brought them to feel their need. And they're brought to tremble under the law. And it goes on, does it not, sinner? If thou art taught to see how great thy guilt and misery in every thought and act impure, not some, but every, brought to see there is sin mixed with all we do, and our very best is stained and dyed, our all is nothing worth. Ah, yes, your all, my all, the sin mixed with it all. In every thought and act impure, the blood of Christ thy soul can cure. Daily to feel thyself undone will make thee haste. Do you feel undone? Ah, wretched indeed. Out of the way, out of the secret even. Ah, yes, that one that brought to feel their need. I can remember that time when I felt to be so outside of the secret. And I long for Christ to be revealed. I long for Christ to be revealed. Ah, yes. And like we had in the hymn just now, you're brought like that there. The worldly things that you once took pleasure in, they don't hold the same pleasure anymore. Yes, they once charmed us. They captivated us. We know at times they can still captivate. But oh, that one that once saw pleasure in these things of this life, and like the world sees it, but oh, they're brought to this. Perhaps like that second verse, now I have seen the Lord, but you feel I can't come as far as that. But you come like this, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Ah, yes, through the lattice of the gospel, reveal thyself to me. But may yet prove, now I have seen the Lord. Yes, the light has shone in the darkness. Thought much upon that at the beginning of John's gospel of recent times. But it speaks of that which is a necessity. Ah, that which is of necessity. The light that shineth in darkness, which is Christ. Ah, yes, we read, do we not? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But that light that shone in your darkness brought you to that place, a needy sinner. Ah, that light that shone into your darkness was revealed, such that it made you tremble. You feel ashamed of yourself like that one there, as we read, to the loathing of thyself. Yes, it speaks of one naked there. Just how you're born in sin, came from forth from the womb speaking lies, having need of a covering. And so that hymn goes on, does it not? Hymn 113. Daily to feel thyself undone will make thee haste to kiss the Son, and on thy knees for pardon sue, and praise and bless and love him too. Or a mixture of, that which goes through the mind when the Spirit takes a poor sinner in hand. But oh, to feel thy shame and nakedness. It's those two verses there that seem to lay upon my spirit. Do we know and feel our shame and nakedness? Do you feel your shame and nakedness? Will make thee haste. Will make thee love that, yes, to feel thy shame and nakedness, will make thee love that glorious guest, glorious dress that sets from condemnation free and from the curse delivers thee. This garment's wove, it's seamless. It's seamless. Oh, do you have need of that seamless covering? Ah, yes, that seamless covering. Because you feel your shame, your nakedness. Ah, yes, will make thee love that glorious dress. You long to be clothed upon. You'll want anything of self removed from you. Ah, you'll be brought to see that in that, in of itself, is but a filthy rag. A filthy rag. Ah, to feel thy shame and nakedness will make thee love that glorious dress that sets from condemnation free and from the curse delivers thee. Without a seam this garment's wove, bequeathed in everlasting love, ere time began designed to be a royal robe to cover thee. A royal robe. The last verse of that hymn speaks like this. We seek no other blood or name to cleanse our guilt and hide our shame, but that brought out by Christ the Son, which God imputes and faith puts on. Oh, faith. You may say, well, I feel to have such a little faith. Ah, that little grain of faith. What a mercy, that little grain of faith, whether it is little faith or great faith. It's a favour indeed. But all that chapter then we read, chapter in Ezekiel. Oh, is that what you long for there? Ah, yes, it speaks of a covering there, does it not? And that one that looked upon, when Christ looked upon that poor sinner, sinners of the deepest dye. Oh, he looked upon the dying thief that day, didn't despise him. Yes, the sinners cried and despised the dying thief. He had mercy upon him. I believe that very day he was clothed upon with that robe of Christ's righteousness. Ah, yes, for the Lord spake unto him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise, as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, thy sins, thy iniquities, thy imperfections, all that testifies against thee. Poor sinner, what a mercy. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Live. Well, you turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. It speaks of those, yes, does it not? Brought from those various corners of the earth. But at the beginning of that chapter, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. Bound up in that everlasting love. That love set upon a poor sinner before ever the worlds were formed. The elect according to the foreknowledge of God. But all that the Father give me, I believe I quoted it this morning, all that the Father give me, Christ spake that. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not one shall be left out, not one shall be lost. But they shall be brought to hear the voice of the shepherd. Ah, that love which was set upon them. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I draw thee. That time of love. That time of favour towards a poor sinner. There's an appointed time. It was for the dying thief. It was for Saul. It was for each of those characters in the Word of God. It was to each of those now found in heaven above, singing the worthy praise of the Lamb. There was a time appointed. Yes, a time appointed when they shall be drawn. That love will draw them. And that love, as it draws them, will not leave them as they were. Yes, some, they talk of the love to Christ. They can speak many things. But when you view their actions, their way of walk, it's no more than words. It's no more than words. It's a form. But that love will work in the heart of a poor sinner, a change. Cannot do the things he once did. Can you trace out a little of that in your path? Yes, that love wrought in your heart to bring, it brought you to see what you were. You can't do those things you once did. The tender fear of the Lord. Once the fear of the Lord, but now the tender fear of the Lord. Yes, you read as regards the commands of God, they will not be in tables of stone. They'll be written upon the fleshy tables of your heart, the seat of your affections. A new spirit will I put within you. A new heart will I give you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit. And that's completely different than the spirit of the world. A completely different spirit than that which is of the world. I will put my spirit, a new and living way, a new practice, if we can put it in that way. Once you were a servant of sin, a servant of Satan. But now that change wrought in the heart, and your desire is, you might be found walking that way which leadeth unto life. Is that in your heart, in that principle of it, you eschew evil. You eschew evil, and yet, looking back as you look at what you are, they're polluted still. Polluted still. Many sins that you've committed, a great account that stands out against you. When I pass by thee, all that time of love, when I pass by thee and saw thee in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. That which under the law pronounced death, eternal death. No other can proclaim this unto a poor sinner. Christ can. One that has satisfied the law. As your glorious high priest, your advocate with the Father, that one that pleads for the poor sinner at the throne of grace before his Father, pleads that sinner's case. Yes, we think of an advocate in law. He pleads for that one that he represents. Yes, when I passed by thee and saw thee in thy blood, when thou wast in thy blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, and again said twice, in that way of emphasis. And sometimes when a poor, trembling child of God in the under that condemnation, and you know what it's like sometimes when something so troubles you, something so troubling to you, when you hear someone speak as regards it for your in that way that would bring about an easement of it for you, don't always hear the first time. That's our old nature, how we are, poor and wretched. The Lord knows your frame and mine, how we need it twice at times. Yes. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live, live. Yes, that one condemned under the law, now that justifying grace of God made known unto them through what he hath accomplished in their room, place, and stead. The Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary. Yea, and in the empty tomb, raised again for their justification. The sinner justified. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted of thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I pass by thee, ah, that beggar poor, that beggar upon the dunghill, that one with his wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, ah, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee. Like this Samaritan, the good Samaritan, he had compassion upon that one. When the Lord looks upon a poor sinner, a groaning sinner, one that lives to feel his need, that one that's welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead, they're brought there. Now when I pass by thee and looked upon thee, didn't cast thee off. Doesn't read that, does it? It doesn't read like that there. Didn't pass by upon the other side. Turn away and walk away. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and cover thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee. That's that covenant of grace. That covenant of grace that cannot be altered. I quoted in prayer as regards David. Oh, what a mercy when that is made known unto a poor sinner. That covenant of grace. An everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, through a precious Christ and what he hath accomplished in that poor sinner's room, place, and stead. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, as saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Became his mind. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Becamest mine. Ah, what a mercy, when that is made known unto a poor sinner, thou art mine. Ah, that one that was once in Satan's slavish chains. Ah, those chains which bound them. Ah, that one that is now, that has been spoken unto them, live. Live. Was it not like even as, yes, we know in that way, it is like, perhaps in an opposite way, but like with Lazarus when he came forth from the tomb. There was that commandment unto Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. And he came forth. But his still clothed, was he not bound with those grave clothes of sin and death? Ah, yes, those grave clothes of sin and death. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't leave him like that. There was that command, loose him. And let him go. Loose him. He's mine. I have loved him with an everlasting love. I've commanded that he should live. Loose him. Let him go. Ah, yes, those grave clothes were removed from him. And I believe, ah, then, clothed upon. With our robe of Christ's righteousness, clothed upon with those royal robes. When we read that, those few verses, it speaks, does it not, as it goes on? Yes, a little later, but first I must just say, speak like this. I have spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I wash thee with water. Oh, that sinner cleansed. Ah, yes. We think of that hymn. Speaking of that fountain open for sin and uncleanness in that day. Forthwith came the blood and the water. From the wounded side, the riven side of Christ. That spotless lamb. To be of sin, as the hymn writer put it, the double cure, to cleanse me from its guilt and power. A precious Christ, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Oh, may you yet be able to say so. He is precious. He is the altogether lovely. Perhaps you can come thus far. He is the altogether lovely. He is all my desire. Ah, may you yet be able to say, living faith, laying hold upon Christ in all his offices, in all his beauty. He is precious. That one that has cast out his skirt over thee, clothed thee with those robes of Christ's righteousness, that seamless robe. And when we think of that seamless robe, woven from the top to bottom without seam. Well, I don't want to speak crudely. But you know, some robes, and especially hospital garments, yes, it's like one big seam down the back and it doesn't fit. Yes, and we wouldn't want a clothing like that, a robe. Yes, that's what it would be like if we came to the end of our days with the robe of our righteousness. We should be seen exactly as we are. But that robe of Christ's righteousness, spotless and without seam, woven from the top to the bottom. I've covered thee, cover thy nakedness. Neither a spot nor shadow a spot upon the soul to be found. Seen, yes, not as you were. But seeing, yes, as Almighty God will look upon that poor sinner, redeemed, yes, from the hand of the enemy, saved from the wrath to come, they shall be seen, by Almighty God in Christ. Yes, that one that stood in their room, place, and stand. They shall be seen in and through him. One that bore their sins. Yes, satisfied the law. That one that was righteous in and of himself, but made sin for his people. Bore the curse. Despised the shame. And is now set down on the right hand of the Father. I have washed thee, then washed I thee with water. Yea, and when we think of this word, the next word, I throughly wash thee. My old mother used to say at times about the licking of promise, a quick wash, as it was called. I don't want to speak irreverently, but yes, some of us we know as children it was so. Can't say we were probably as clean as we should have been by doing that. But oh, as regards your sins and mine, your sins and mine, your iniquities and mine, oh, what a mercy. I truly, not left to you. Not left to another. I freely wash thee. Yes, then I wash thee with water. Yea, I freely washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee. Oh, that anointing. The son or a daughter, that beggar on the dunghill. The chiefest of sinners, the Marys and the Manassas, raised up as sons or daughters by blessed adoption, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Ah, yes, and I anointed thee. Not only washed thee throughly, but anointed thee. These are wonders, are they not? The wonders of redeeming love. Oh, we see the time has nearly gone. But oh, turning to that chapter which we read. Ah, yes, in the first epistle general of Peter. So are we found amongst those? Wherefore, laying aside that wrought in the heart, that change, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Oh, tasted, handled and felt. Oh, has his word been made precious? Has Christ through his word been made precious? If you tasted that he is gracious. That word of life, that word which comes with power and satisfies the living soul. Oh, nothing else will satisfy. Ah, that which once satisfied, as we said, the things of this life the world is satisfied with, cannot satisfy. Oh, if you had an aching void that the world cannot fill. And through the Spirit there's been a measure of that you've tasted. Tasted, handled and felt of the word of life, that bread of life sent down from heaven, which is Christ. He spake of himself, I am that bread of life, sent down from heaven. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Ye also, yes, that one once despised, you once despised and rejected Christ, and yet you're now found amongst those, as we read in at Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, if I can lay my eyes upon it. But all going back to that second chapter in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, if I can see it. But oh, yes, once that one was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, all that peace of God, that peace by his cross. Ah, that peace which, yes, I believe will be made known unto those that are brought there. It'll be made known unto them. Yes, and as you read down that chapter towards the end, yes, came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, now built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, yes, those wrought upon, chosen, ah, yes, brought out of nature's darkness, brought into the liberty of the gospel, they shall be found amongst those fit stones, fitly framed into that building. And when we think upon some stone buildings, there are some large and some small, but they all fit together. It forms a structure which is strong. And so, yes, each one of the Lord's people are their differing characters. There are varying works as the Spirit performs that in their heart. But nevertheless, they shall be found amongst those stones made fit. Those vessels made fit for the Master's use, but those stones, yes, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Fitly framed together. A precious Christ. Revealed unto a poor sinner their hope of glory. Yes, and that chapter we read out of the first epistle, General Peter. Those verses that close that chapter. It speaks of Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, whose own self bare our sins. All that one. Yes, that which has been revealed to them, their sins. Bore their sins. That one that loathed themselves, brought to loathe themselves, who his own self bare our sins, and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we were. Oh, what a mercy we can say that of ourselves. I was, but for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Yes, and then you turn to that. My mind went back to that time when I was brought into the liberty of the gospel. That hymn 1156, Oh, may you likewise taste of that language there. Precious language. Precious language, but the time has gone, we must leave it. But you turn to it. All that love. Cannot comprehend it. Man may love his fellow creatures. We have love to those that are of our families and our friends and those of our acquaintances as we go from here to there, those that in that union with Christ, there's that love to them. But greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Charles Warbliss will preach and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And there's our friends at Fenstanton hope to have a special service on Saturday morning at 10:30 when our friend Mr. Daniel Aldridge will be baptised. Our closing hymn is number 482. In heaven my choicest treasure lies, my hopes are placed above the skies. 'Tis Christ, the bright and morning star, draws my affections from afar. Hymn 482.
make thyself precious unto us each. Reveal thyself to us in all thy beauty, all thy wondrousness. That wonder of salvation's plan, which thou hast fully wrought out in the sinner's room, place, and stand. That we might see thee now ascended on high, exalted there, and all may we yet each be brought home in that time appointed, home to glory, to sing the worthy praise of the Lamb once slain. The Lamb once slain. So we plead, do remember us now. Take us, we plead, to our destinations in peace and safety. May there be something that remains of thy word. And do be pleased to blot out anything which has been amiss, blotted out from the mind. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.